So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
And I tell you, we have got, as usual, so much going on, it just defies logic. What in the world do people think? I don't know. But let's get started. Hopefully Mr. Martin will be joining us soon. He is still busy trying to work that business that Barack Obama built for him. You know how that goes. So, you know, in the news, it's interesting, and I tell you why. I found it online earlier. I was perusing the Courier Journal. I do that a couple of times a week just for fun to see what kind of stupid stuff they're lying about now. But what was interesting about perusing it today was they have a daily poll question that they do on their online news site. And the poll question was this: would you be willing to pay more in taxes if it meant hiring more police officers to patrol city streets? Now, you know, everybody uses that safety angle in the police, and we got to do it for our kids. And, well, sure, you know, you would think that most people would agree to pay more taxes for public safety. I'm not among them. I think we pay way too many taxes now. But apparently I'm not alone. Interestingly enough, the last time I looked at this earlier today, their poll had 58% saying no, they would not be willing to pay more in taxes, even if it meant hiring more police officers for the streets. And 32% said yes. So the reason that this is interesting is because it actually falls with what everybody knows and what we continue talking about, that this government continues taking way too much money at every level away from we the people, and they call it taxes, which is nothing more than legalized theft. According to CNSnews.com, you guys can go there and check this out, revenues from state and local individual income taxes, general sales taxes, gross receipt taxes, motor fuel taxes, motor vehicle taxes, on and on and on, hit all-time highs in the second quarter of this year. You heard me right. Revenues from these taxes hit all-time highs, according to the Census Bureau. That means that as long as the Census Bureau has been in existence, okay, at least 1962, this is the highest amount of taxes we have ever paid in our history from April through June of 2013. There was a record $114.03 billion paid in state and local individual income taxes in the second quarter alone, folks. This is the entire year, second quarter across the board. That was up almost $8 billion, or about 7.5%, from the previous all-time record of $106 billion that was set in 2008. So for this government to continue sitting here saying that they don't get enough in taxes, you know, and tax cuts are wrong, and, you know, if we cut the taxes, we can't stimulate the economy, let's look at the reality here. Let's look at the reality here. In 2008, we were paying less taxes than we were today. I mean, almost an 8% increase since Barack Obama took over. Where has that gotten us? Do we see a great economy? Do we see people moving ahead? No, we don't. It's very, very interesting when you break down the numbers. You know, we also paid a record $82.2 billion in general sales and gross receipts in the second quarter. That was up about 2.5% from the previous record. Again, all the records are from 2008. The second quarter of 2008 was the last time we had this record. So for those of you who are screaming about George Bush's tax cuts, remember, the second quarter of 2008, Barack Obama had only been in office 3 months at the start of that. So Barack Obama had nothing to do with that time period with taxes. So for everybody that says George Bush cut taxes and that's what destroyed the economy, well, folks, we now have proof in the pudding. Once again, that's a falsehood. It doesn't matter that George Bush cut taxes, because the taxes that were in place when Barack Obama took office, his first quarter and second quarter, all right, the election was in 2008. Obama didn't even take office until 2009. So, you know, here you go. Those were record tax receipts under George Bush. So are you willing to pay more taxes? I think not, but I thought that was pretty interesting. If you want to get into some other taxes, we can run it down the list. But, for example, local motor vehicle taxes, they paid a record $7.9 billion. You know, state and local alcohol taxes, for example, that was up $25 million from the previous high. So we've got all of these things proving that we're paying higher taxes, more taxes than ever in our history. Okay, at the end of George Bush's term in 2008, he had the last record for the previous high taxes, and everybody said he was a no-tax president, and we're still not moving ahead all these years later. I thought those were some interesting things that we needed to point out, because right here in Louisville, one of the top things going on is this mayor, Mayor Dumb Fisher, and his Democratic Mafia council persons are all fighting and scratching and screaming, wanting a 1% sales tax increase, that they get to dictate where it goes and everything else. I'm sorry, folks. We now have proof that we have plenty of money. Let's hold these guys accountable for how they spend it. We do not need higher taxes. But what we do need is accountability. What we do need is somebody willing to stand up and say, this isn't working, so let's change the game. And here's another case in point. Let's talk about the Cordes Group and 4th Street Live, if you will. The Re-Raw Pub and Restaurant at 4th Street Live closed down over the weekend. It's been there less than 5 years. This isn't the first place. 4th Street Live has a revolving door for tenants because the Cordes Group controls all of 4th Street Live. They continue getting tax breaks and tax incentives and not paying any taxes for anything that they're doing now. They continue getting all of these breaks, and they still can't make a dime. And it's because we're giving them the daggone farm without charging them for the daggone seed of wheat that they're growing on it. It's crazy. But after Re-Rob Pub spent $1 million and more than a year renovating this place into the restaurant, they had to shut down. Quattro, you know, and the pub, they also closed in the last few months. 4th Street Live has been known for this. So thank Jerry Abramson, Greg Fisher, the Democratic Council, including attorney David Tandy, who likes to sign non-disclosure agreements, and others for continuing to kiss Cordish's butt and giving them free reign to do anything they want, and it's still costing us money. Now, people say, well, how is that costing us money? Because Cordish isn't paying the bills. And there's also a little revenue share agreement involved in that, and we're not getting any money on back. We have never collected a dime on the revenue share portion of our contract with these guys. So we've got to open our eyes with that. It's very, very interesting. But I tell you, it's hard to open your eyes. It's hard to open your eyes, folks, because when you look at some of the dumb things that happen in mainstream media, and here's a great example of it, the Courier-Journal recently published a letter to the editor that just trashed the Republican Party, everything else. And it was sent in to them. You know what? I think I'm just going to read it to you. Because I tell you, and I'll put a link in the chat room for you too as well. But it's really interesting because ultimately they printed this, and the editorial read is, "I call myself a Republican because I believe in market solutions and I believe in common sense realities and the necessity to defend against a dangerous world." And it goes on to say that the problem is I now have to be homophobic. I have to count the number of times people go to church. I have to deny facts and think science is a con. I have to think poor people are getting a sweet ride, and I have to have such a stunning inferiority complex that I fear education and intellect in the 21st century. Most of all, the biggest new requirement is that I have to hate Democrats. Now, this was the letter to the editor that got published in the Louisville Courier-Journal, and it was signed by W. McAvoy, 40222 zip code. So this is a guy who's trying to chastise the Republican Party, you know, basically as being an ultra-Christian right-wing thing that only cares about homophobia, the Bible, and, don't want to worry about science because it's all, you know, biblical, right? The problem is McAvoy doesn't exist. The letter to the editor that the Courier-Journal posted was a transcript of a monologue by actor Jeff Daniels. Actor Jeff Daniels plays in a TV show called The Newsroom. So somebody thought it would be cute to copy the monologue from Jeff Daniels, sign it as his character name, and send it to the Courier-Journal, and they were too dumb to verify the authenticity. So when I continue screaming about mainstream media, because Courier-Journal is mainstream print media here in Louisville, this is a prime example of how ridiculous these people are. They can't even do their due diligence to verify what they are printing or posting in their paper. I just found that very comical. I thought you guys may too, and I wanted to let you know about it. What can you say? I mean, if somebody can portray themselves fictitiously and get printed because it's going to give a great liberal slant to our mainstream media, what else can you say about it? You think there's not an agenda or an objective? I'm sure Pam Platt or whoever looks over the daggone letters to the editor now, or to CJ, looked at that and said, oh yeah, that looks like a Republican is disgusted. All right, let's print that. Let's put that out there. Let's everybody see it. And they did, which ultimately actually violates what they normally do in that situation. I've written letters to the editor. I've been printed into CJ once or twice. In those times, the CJ called to verify the authenticity of my statement and my comments before they printed it. So, you know, if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that I wrote to the Courier-Journal that got printed was prior to me even running for mayor. So I was nothing but an average guy then. Nobody knew who I was. I wasn't a semi-public figure or anything like I am today. I was just an average Joe, still an average Joe, but I get watched a lot more. But, you know, it is fascinating that they would go to that length and that desperation to keep the liberal agenda alive. I found it funny. I found it just beyond belief that these guys expect to be credible for anything after doing something stupid like that. And unfortunately, it's probably not the first time. We have some updates on a story for you. Last night late, we talked about the Kenwood Elementary lockdown on Friday. And the situation is pretty much this. 19-year-old Dijon Gaines was hanging around Kenwood Elementary's playground. According to the assistant principal, noticed he was standing around the playground, decided to call security, and got security. Security immediately called the police. The police showed up, and there you go. They go after and arrest this guy. They find 5 BB guns on him. 5 BB guns they found on him. So they arrested him for disorderly conduct, things like that. Here's the thing. I really don't have a problem with the fact that, you know, that they responded to this. They should be responding to something like this. But as I talked about last night, there's a couple of little problems I've got with this whole story. For starters, Mr. Gaines, he is 19, so he's not a child. Mr. Gaines had no business being there during school hours with the kids on the playground. I agree with that. But he was there the day before on Thursday. He was confronted on Thursday and told that he needed to leave, that he didn't need to be there while kids were in attendance. Right? Makes sense, right? So we've got that. So the assistant principal, Williams, is the one apparently who talked to him on Thursday and told him that. When he showed back up Friday, she decided to get security. Security called the police, and the police came there and everything else. The problem I had from the very beginning was a problem all of us should have, the fact that nobody covered this story on Friday during a real-life crisis lockdown at a local elementary school that involved our children. Why is this important? It seems to me if we have enough time, and our local media has nothing better to do than to send a weatherman out with an umbrella when it's raining outside, to hold an umbrella with his hand to tell us it's raining outside, to spend 25 minutes of a 30-minute newscast telling us it's raining outside, they don't have anything better to do than that. That's our problem with mainstream TV media. They want to give us that kind of stupid stuff. Or if there's a shooting at another school like Newton, Connecticut, at Adam Lanza, they like going there and breaking into the news and covering and having all these live reports out of Connecticut. My question is, while our own kids right here at home were in jeopardy, their parents didn't know it, didn't have a clue. And nobody publicized it, put it on the TV so we could keep track of what's going on. We had no live coverage. All of this stuff adds up, folks, and it adds up to a situation that I believe, you know, whether Kenwood did the right thing or not is irrelevant to me at this point. I like to think they did everything correctly. But I think the mainstream media has a lot to answer for ignoring this story. How about you, Ed?
Well, I thought about actually, and I apologize for being late, but I had to leave the show a little early yesterday to take a phone call about business, and that resulted in me having to leave at 3 a.m. to go to Chicago.
Oh my God! Did you tell Barack High?
I was just making another phone call about business. So,
well, did you call your Lord
late.
And Savior? Did you call your Lord and Savior and your spiritual master, Barack Obama, and tell him hi while you were there?
I tried to call up, you know, sort of D.C. politicians and said, hey, do you want this hot potato? Because I sure as hell don't want to get up at 3 a.m. and drive straight to Chicago. And I called them, and they, you know, you call them at 3 a.m, like the commercial, nobody answered.
There you go. So what do you think about this?
It's more confusing than anything because, you know, you see sometimes there's failures. And like I said, considering what you said the other night, this was done by the book. I mean, this was, as far as JCPS goes, you know, we've ragged on them a lot. But even had this been a hot shooter with something more than BB guns, they get everything right. And why the media can't, you know, like you said, if it bleeds, it leads. Well, damn it, you know, this is sort of good news. It won't bother some that some dude was hanging out like that, but it's good to see that they did something right, you know. Lord knows the media would be all up JCPS's butt if one of their buses hit something again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they did it all right, and nobody got hurt, even if the guy had been a problem.
that's the big deal.
They the situation, and I don't understand why they don't just, why it's not on the media saying, hey, well played, you know, really. Charge of the situation. You didn't, you know, the guy didn't get into the school. He was just on the grounds. Administration was paying attention. Security did the right thing. Police stepped up, you know. Potential defused. The lockdown would have been probably sufficient to protect the kids. Like, geez, you did it. Everything was done right. Can you give us that little snippet of good news? You know, granted, there's a thread of weirdness in there, but yeah, can we get that snippet of good news on it? It's like,
Kenwood did the right thing here.
Like, guess what? They can actually lock these schools down, and they are actually paying attention. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have no doubt that Kenwood followed protocol and did the right thing. My basic beef is with the media who ignored it, knowing it was going on in real time. I mean, these guys listen to police scanners, all the other stuff. If the school goes into lockdown, I promise you, the scanners were going crazy and the police were going nuts thinking they had a shooter on the premises. You know, there were 30 kids outside, apparently, when Gaines was out there. They were rushed back into the school. The school went into a real-time lockdown mode. Principal Handley at Kenwood Elementary said the kids knew exactly what to do because they'd been practicing these emergency disaster drills for quite a while. Now, here's the thing for me, and it gets a little tricky for me here, but Gaines was ultimately found on the property and had no good reason for being there, and he was in possession of 5 BB guns. So, you know, this guy is clearly such a threat that when he was arrested Friday, he spent the night in jail, was brought before a judge on Saturday. The judge told him not to have any contact with any school or to have any weapons, including BB guns. But he lowered the bond. Gaines is charged with disorderly conduct and criminal trespassing, and his original bond, I guess, was $10,000. And the judge actually lowered his bond from $10,000 to $1,000. So clearly, nobody sees this guy as a threat. The judge actually lowered his bond to 10% of what it was in the first place. So did Kenwood overreact? I don't know. But I'm going to overreact right now because I'm going to make a quick statement that drives me completely pathetic. I believe Principal Handley really doesn't have a clue what a hero in this world is. And everybody's saying, why would he say something like that? Principal Handley is quoted as saying that Miss Williams, her assistant principal, is a hero of the day. There is no doubt about that. Now, I don't know how you define hero. So here's a way we're going to define it based on this. Anytime you see a suspicious person anywhere that they'd say generally would not be perceived as having a reason for being there, call the Metro Police at 574, I think it's 4111. But call the police department. At that point in time, get a picture of yourself and put a sign underneath you that says Hero of the Day and post it on Facebook. Because we've got a situation. This guy was not any threat with BB guns. He hadn't done anything wrong other than being on the property. And this assistant principal is a hero for putting the school in a lockdown, and our media totally ignored it at the same time. This is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing I'm with you on that. It's like, I think that's definitely one of those words that gets used way too often, you know. Did she do her job? Yes. If I saw her or knew who she was, I would go take her hand and say, well played. Yes, well done. Thank you. That's not a hero, you know. Hey. Now, if he'd had real guns and she'd have disarmed him and pistol-whipped him with his own gun, you know.
Sure.
Something like that. Like, yeah, not only a hero, you're some kind of badass, too.
Right. You want to see a hero visit the VA hospital.
Like, you did your job. Yeah. Thank you. That, believe it or not, that's what you get paid for. So, you're not a hero. You did your job very well, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you for doing your job. That doesn't make you a hero. You didn't go above and beyond. Go ahead, Mayo.
You just got to what I was getting ready to say. It was, you know, a hero is somebody that does go above and beyond what, you know, is asked of them. You know, they did their job. I mean, are police and firemen, in a sense, heroes? Yes, but that's their job. That's what they're paid for it's what we expect of them. I'm not saying I don't respect them or I don't respect the work they do, but for somebody to just be called a hero for doing the job that they're paid to do, no.
Well, I don't think police and firemen are heroes. I don't think police and firemen are heroes.
To be fair,
no,
I think
if it's one of
people,
I mean, if it's a fireman that runs back and, you know, into a burning building to get somebody else missed or whatever, and, you know, gets hurt or doesn't get hurt on a job or something,
that's
like that.
A hero.
That's going to be on the call.
I agree with you. Go ahead, Ed.
Doing their job, they just risk their own, you know, life.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
there's normal parameters to what somebody does in their job, and I think there's no shortage of heroes. We can, you know, you can find them anywhere and everywhere. I mean, but, you know, hey, look, I'm a prolific Red Cross blood donor. You know, and get those shirts that say hero. It's like, okay, they're free.
Oh, you betcha.
I let you take some blood out of me. I don't consider myself a hero, but, you know, if that's what the free shirt says, I'll take it.
Well, there you go.
I cut the sleeves off and use it at work.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, if you want to see a hero, if you want to see heroes, go to the VA hospital. If you want to see a hero and you want to call yourself a teacher and an educator, if you want to see a hero, visit the grave of the two teachers in Newton, Connecticut, who stood and saved children by sacrificing their own lives doing it when they tried to take out chase after Adam Lanza. When you want to see heroes, talk to me about those people. If a fireman is a hero, it's because he went into a burning building and pulled a body out, like Mayo said. If a policeman is a hero, it's because he took a bullet that was meant for somebody else to save a life. You know, that's heroism. That's what it's all about. But to sit here and call somebody a hero because, oh, there's a stranger on a property. Well, I guess I better call somebody to take care of that. This is the hero of the day. I'm just calling to report a stranger on my property. Will you take care of that? That's ridiculous to me. And that to me is just a reflection of how dumbed down Americans. Yeah, that's it. That is just a reflection of how dumbed down Americans have become and what we expect out of leadership at every level. You know, and now we've got all kinds of rumors going on. There's no report anywhere that this guy was doing anything with the BB guns. None. Thursday, he was sitting on a bench on the playground. Friday, he was doing the same thing. The police came on Friday. He decided to try to walk and leave. He did hunker down in a ditch, so that's already suspicious behavior. Maybe that's why they arrested him. Don't know. Wasn't there. But now we've got all these rumors going out on Facebook. Well, he was taking the BB guns, and he was tapping on the windows and frightening little kids. Folks, use your head, common sense, and logic. Those people, in my opinion, are liars, and I tell you why I believe that, unless I'm proven wrong. If somebody can prove me wrong, please do. But I'm not going to take the word of an 8-year-old is that something like that happened because of an overzealous parent who's trying to make themselves look superior and better because their kid happened to be at this school that day. The reality is if there was anybody tapping on those windows with a gun, fake or otherwise, including Gaines, then guess what? There wouldn't have been 30 kids outside on the playground to take back into the school at recess.
No. There
would have been nobody allowed outside.
There wouldn't have been 30 kids on the playground. And the suspect would have been shot dead. And rightfully so.
There's no doubt. Because if he would have tapped on one window, an alarm would have went off.
If he'd have brandished the gun, he was basically going to suffer execution.
Well, there's no doubt. And even if he wasn't suffering execution, I mean, at the moment he brandished that gun, the school would have been on lockdown. Not because they suspiciously saw him walking across the yard with 30 kids outside. So the people that are out there, and some of them are identifying themselves as parents, I apologize to you guys. I know it had to be traumatic knowing 3 days later that your child was in that situation. But let's face the reality here. We don't need to intensify and escalate the discussion based on lies and falsehoods that you're spreading in front of your children, and they're going to start believing is real, and now you've just scared your kids for nothing. That's not a good parent. Get your head out of your ass. I mean, that's just my opinion on it. I don't like the lies. And unless somebody can prove otherwise, at this point, they're all lies because there's no credible report anywhere that says anything about that.
And had he gone about terrorizing like that, he would not be out on bond, much less 10% of his original bond. No way.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, that's just hilarious to me that people have to, you know, exemplify or make things bigger than they are. It just makes no sense to me. And then we've got another thing that makes no sense to me. We've got an idiot, another teacher idiot, at a Catholic high school in Bardstown. Matthew Bowling, he's an English teacher at Bethlehem High School, Catholic High School in Bardstown, was indicted by a jury right here in Jefferson County for two counts of rape. Apparently, Bowling had had at least two sexual encounters with a student who is currently at the same school he's working at, right here at his home in Jefferson County. You know, folks, these stories of the day are getting kind of old. I don't know why we continue having this kind of stuff come up. Any teacher in anywhere that would put themselves in that position needs to be locked up and put in jail and have their head examined. I mean, that's the bottom line. But I also want to say this as well, and this is where I'm going to piss people off, and I know it going in, and that's okay. But if
and
your parents are watching,
pissing people off.
Yeah, it's Springsteen. This is the thing. Today's kids aren't the same kids that were when we were going to school 20, 30 years ago. If you're a girl, you dress like you're some kind of a sexy little hoe. That's just the way it is. You're pushing the envelope as far as you can. You're making yourself, your whole identity anymore, a sexual identity. That's disturbing in itself because it does make people start looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. Now, I am not justifying anything that Matthew Bowling or any other man does. What I'm saying is we need to teach our women to have value in themselves. And then these kind of situations probably wouldn't be as prevalent as they are today. Now, on the flip side of that, every guy is a thug wannabe today. Every guy is a thug wannabe today. And there are women who are realizing their sexual identity just as much as men do. They're realizing it at a very much younger age. Those in a position of authority are abusing the same rules that the men are. It has become an equal opportunity for mainly younger adults, male and female, to victimize these kids. But these kids, you know, aren't running away and talking to adults. They're going along with the program until they get caught. That's the problem I've got. We've got to start teaching our kids more respect for themselves so that we can avoid these kind of situations. Hell, when I was a kid, if a teacher would approach me like that, don't get me wrong, we all kid. Every guy in the world says, damn, man, I wish my teacher would have been like that. I'd have kept my mouth shut. Right. That's not realistic. We both know that's a lie.
Yeah.
We would have done that. I'd have went home to my mom or to my dad. My mom left when I was 12. But I'd have went home to my dad and said, hey, man, this is pretty good. You know, this teacher did this teacher did that. But I had a relationship with my father where I could actually talk to him. You know, so we could have avoided this. So open a line of communication. Watch what your kids are wearing and hold them accountable to the respect they hold for themselves. Because as a kid, they don't know that. They have to be taught that. But unfortunately, in today's world, a lot of adults don't respect themselves. So how the hell are they going to pass that on to their kids? You know, I had to put that out there. It just drove me nuts when I read that story yet again today. Tell you what, let's take a quick break, bottom of the hour break. I want to get into some real issues now. We're going to talk about what's really going on with Obamacare and spend some time on that. And, Ed, you're going to love that, I know, because you're a small business owner that's affected by it. So let's get into that. We'll be right back, folks. Listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the EVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
I got to jump for a second. I'll be right back.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make us.
We'll be right back. you have it in the city, but you had your little crash. But you might feel better if they gave you some cash. The more I think about it, old Billy was right. Just kill all the lovers, kill them tonight.
Yeah. That makes sense to me, right? Give me a lot of cash, and then we'll kill all the lawyers. I tell you what, it just gets crazy to me when I look at everything going on, the hero worshiping, all the other stuff. You know, I'm already getting some texts of some different things. Why are you picking on this assistant principal? Why are you saying this? She was a hero. I've already got two texts on that just sitting here in the context of this show. And, folks, you need to really redefine what a hero is. I can tell you that right now. I've had people call me a hero. Me, of all people. I go out, I report the news, I bring charges up against corrupt officials, I've held Jim King accountable, held Judy Greene impeached, and a whole host of others. The floods really love me today. And that makes me a hero for practicing my First Amendment and getting involved in injustices and helping fix it wrong? Folks, you gotta relax. There is nothing heroic about my efforts at all. No more than there was anything heroic about the assistant principal Williams' efforts in calling and making a phone call to the police because she saw something suspicious. We need to get together on this, folks, really truthfully. Let's start making sure we're holding people accountable for what they say. Yeah. Go ahead, Ed.
I was going to say, it's just a matter of semantics. It's just, look, a hero is a hero. It should be something special. We shouldn't water the word down. That's basically what, if somebody's getting upset, that's all we're saying. And understand, in the same sense, we're saying she did her job very well, very well. Competent in spades. I mean, it was done exactly as she should have. Job well done. But, yeah, you know, yeah, like I said, I'm with you on that. Like I say, people use the term too often.
Oh, yeah, she'll get the Educator of the Year or some kind of an award for making a phone call to police in a non-life-threatening situation. You know, what the hell? But we've spent enough time on that. I really didn't plan on going that far, but I tell you, it drives me nuts. We have some real situations going on that are involving everybody, though, and it's called Obamacare. Obamacare is the elephant in the room. You know, everybody is screaming now about the budget and everything else, the crisis we're in, government's going to shut down, oh my, please dear God. You know, the reality is the Democrats are blaming the Republicans, saying they want to shut down government by defunding Obamacare, which is an absolute lie. Because the reality is the Republicans are always chastised for not putting out a budget and all the other things. Guess what? The House did their job. They gave the Senate a budget to look at. So it's up to the Senate now to look at this budget. And if they want to fund any part of Obamacare, then send one back to the House, something that they can both compromise on. Nobody's going to get 100% of everything. But this is Barack Obama in action. Well, here's the thing. Right here in Louisville, we have Humana. Everybody knows about Humana. But we have got some serious things here. Humana was just fined $65,000 by the Kentucky Department of Insurance. That's right. And why were they fined? It wasn't because they did anything wrong. They weren't, you know, falsifying policies or anything. According to Kentucky Progress and our good friend David Adams, Humana sent letters out to health insurance customers this summer and warned them that Obamacare was going to cause their premiums to explode in January, and sending them advice on how to limit the harm that was going to be done to their personal finances. But the Kentucky Department of Insurance fined them $65,000 for this effort, for telling the truth. You know, now, if you want to look at the flip side of this, Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Steve Beshear, who is continuing to violate law right now, trying to ram through these daggone insurance exchanges and everything else that he's in court with?
But the courts haven't officially said so yet. David Adams, you know, he's taking it to the higher court. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I tell you what, if $65,000 against Humana, you kind of got to wonder, it's like, okay, is that really a fine given the size of Humana? I guess they had to hit them with something.
You're right.
If you're going to find somebody and you're going to say they did something wrong and they're a multi-billion-dollar corporation, really, it gets to the point that, you know, $65,000 is peeing in the ocean. It's like, I don't know what kind of message you were, you know, the Insurance Corporation was trying to send, but
I guess
you may not notice.
Well, I think ultimately, for me, it really didn't matter at that point whether the fine was a dollar or whether the fine was $1 million.
Yeah.
At that point, the fact that the Kentucky Department of Insurance felt they had the right to fine Humana, a private corporation, for their right of free speech and talking to their own customers, they're not out there doing it, they're talking to their customers, that just defies total logic to me. This is nothing more than the Governor Beshear trying to ramrod down them to shut your mouth and play ball. That's ridiculous. But here's how important it is for you guys. We actually made the national news right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Andy and Amy Mangione, right here in Louisville, and they've got two children. You know, these are people who probably, for what Obamacare was sold to everybody was, should be helped by Obamacare. They don't go to the doctor. They don't have any of these big old things. You know, they got a letter from their insurance company that said, your action is required, your benefit changes, you know, act now. So, of course, Mr. Mangione opened his daggone letter up. You can go to foxnews.com for this one, folks. It made national news. I'm not kidding you. But he opens it up, and it's not a big deal, right, except for one small thing. Here's a guy in a family who is paying for their own private health care, and they were just informed that their insurance was going to go up from $333 a month. It was going to triple to $965 a month beginning in January. This is because of Obamacare. The letter made it very clear that the increase was necessary so that the insurer could be compliant with the new Obamacare health care law. I mean, this guy, you know, he has a high deductible plan. His kids are young. They're young.
Yeah,
they don't go. They don't have to go to doctors.
Well, he has a very high deductible plan.
Sure.
You know, sounds like he was working catastrophic. But, you know, if that was his choice, so be it.
Well, that's exactly it. But now he's going to have to pay three times that because, you know, they're with who? Humana. That's what makes this so interesting with the fine with Humana, because these folks are insured with Humana Corporation. So here we've got, they're going to triple in January their health insurance premiums. They don't go to the doctor. They have nothing in their medical history, according to Mr. Mangione, that you know, is any kind of a red flag or an indicator at all. You know, and according to their letter, that premium, according to the letter from Humana, they said that the increases were going to be industry-wide, which is true. And the increases are based on the fact that they have to come into compliance with the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
There's a lot of bare bones type policies that are not going to be compliant. Because I tell you, we've done that at work. We actually ours is compliant by a mile, which, you know, as a relief there, premiums are still going up because of all sorts. You know, there are all sorts of changes, like with the 80% payout stuff. Yeah, it's like, you're right. It has to do with compliant, you know, basically Obamacare is, as I understand it, they say nobody fully understands it, so let's just be upfront about that. Nobody.
Congress don't even understand
minimum,
it. They wrote it.
There's going to be minimum coverages that you have to pick up. If you're healthy, 25, and all you do is swim for exercise three nights a week, you know, you're not going to hurt yourself. You're probably not going to need a doctor. you can't not have insurance, and you're going to have to buy at least a certain minimum plan that essentially, and, you know, and actuarially speaking, the plan you're buying that you're not using is funding the plans that other people are able to get for a lower price. I mean, that's how insurance works. But they're going to rack people up. They're going to make people buy insurance that maybe don't want it and realistically don't need it, and they're going to make them buy a certain level plan. None of this bare bones, okay, I'll pick up some catastrophic and all with it kind of thing.
Well, see, and that's very interesting because, you know, and part of the reason is, though, Ed, I mean, they're forcing an addition of the so-called new essential health benefits. Essentially what that means is, every plan you're now going to have, you know, like the well baby checkups, things like that. You know, you're going to go in for a physical every year. Well, I got news for you. At 25 years old, if you think I was going to go to the doctor's office for a physical just because my insurance would pay for it, you better think again. But we're going to pay for that just in case somebody does. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. And it gets really ridiculous when we start really getting into the heat of it. You know, it's very interesting, too, because I want to get to this part of it as well. And I apologize for shortening it up a little bit because I think you're going to have fun with this. BizPackReview.com, and I'll put this in the chat room right now. You guys probably really want to read this. But it's very fascinating. Nancy Pelosi was being interviewed with Candace Crowley, you know, CNN's favorite ultra-left liberal interviewer. Candace was surprised.
That's not what Barack Obama said, Candace Crowley. Thank you for fact-checking for us during the debates, Candace.
Yeah.
Move along.
That Candace Crowley, exactly.
I just throw that in there.
But even Candace Crowley was totally confused and thrown off by Nancy Pelosi. During an interview on State of the Union this weekend, Candace Crowley read Nancy Pelosi part of the letter signed by Jimmy Hoffa, and basically that letter said that he described Obamacare's impact on employers was being used as a way to destroy the foundation of the 40-hour work week. You know, because everybody is going to part-time work now, less than 30 hours, so they can avoid paying benefits. So he's blaming that. Well, here's really interesting. Because Nancy Pelosi seemed to think that was a good deal. Her response was that overwhelmingly for the American people, this is a liberation. That the American people, okay, that the American people will now have more free time.
And go on and finish. I know where you're going with this.
She said that the American people would now have more free time to pursue their passion in life. Now, that's where I'm going with this.
No.
How in the hell can you even remotely, I don't care who you are,
There is a cognitive disconnect on so many levels with politicians. And I mean, whether it's Pelosi, who is filthy, stinking rich, or John Yarmuth, who is filthy, stinking rich. You throw that part into it, and then you throw in the part that they are, wait for it, salaried.
Right.
Doesn't matter how many hours they work. They don't get it. They don't get it that a lot of people, probably most people, are paid by how many hours they work, you know, performance, attendance, things that don't matter a rat's ass to some wealthy-ass politician from California.
Right.
She doesn't show up for a vote. She still gets paid. They don't perform or balance a budget. She still gets paid. You know, not that she needs the money. Yeah.
Right.
That's just, to me, that infuriates me deep down inside. It's like, you arrogant bitch. You don't get it. You don't get it that there are people who will, you know, they want to better their lives. You know, you talk about pursuing your stuff. They want to get out there. There are people who will snatch up overtime like it's going out of style. There are people, if they can't get enough hours, pursue your dreams, nothing. People who are getting stuck with 20, 25 hours are getting jobs. So now they're going 50 hours. Yeah, jeez. These people are so disconnected.
I don't think that she's disconnected. I just flat out think that she knows it. She just don't care. She likes that master-slave mentality with her being the master cracking the whip.
I think she thinks that some guy with his family who's only able to rack up 30 hours a week is going to say, well, hell, that gives me 50 hours a week to paint or make sandcastles or something like that. And he's not going to be worried about feeding his kids and clothing his kids and putting, you know, fixing the car and putting gas in the car. No, she is just so disconnected. It really is. Anybody that voted for her as their representative, you know, they should just be absolutely and completely ashamed.
They should be embarrassed as hell. You know, I just found that was very, very interesting that she would think that that's a good thing. To lose your 40-hour-a-week job that you're not even making bills with now, to go to work for 25 or 30 hours a week so you can get further behind and maybe live on the street or in your car. That satisfies her needs.
Why not?
She'll go out,
I mean,
pay, she'll go out and pay some homeless guy cash
in
her yard.
Maybe I should just do something. I should do something to get fired, and then I can and work on my rugby game. You know, at age 50, still playing. I can
there
use a few days off. You know, get some
sure.
physical therapy and go out. You know, start
sure.
my game up a little bit. Yeah, why not? Take a spare change, maybe work on my pool game. Yeah.
There
I
you
think
go.
She's got to play. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Go my ahead, Mayo.
My kids go hungry or something like that. Okay, like, hey, don't worry about it. Daddy is in great shape. He got spare time to go running and jogging and swimming and stuff. It's like, Dad's doing good. Kids, not so much.
There you go. Give up your house and work at McDonald's. Go ahead, Mayo.
I was just going to add, you know, to what Ed had said, but it is disconnection. I mean, how come the media when during one of Barack Obama's town hall meetings for election or something, and the guy asked him about the price of gas, and instead of Obama, you know, giving him an answer, he suggested that he buy a newer, more fuel-efficient vehicle.
Right.
If you have a man with three, you know, well, you shouldn't have a van anyway. Well, he had three kids. He needed the van, you know.
Well, it's not his business what he drives anyway.
You know, the disconnect. You know, they talk about helping people. How much of, you know, that I know of Romney's, quietly, a lot of people don't know, donated more money, you know, charity, et cetera, than Obama, you know, with all the millions from his books or anything ever did.
But remember,
that's what I mean, the disconnect.
But remember, the liberal media was all over Romney saying he wasn't paying his fair share to charity work that Obama was. But they never touched Obama after the election was when everybody pointed it out. Now, of course, people like us were pointing it out throughout the whole election. But, you know, the mainstream media, you call it lamestream, you know, no, we can't show that comparison. Where was Candace Crowley then, you know? I mean, you're absolutely right. But what's really fascinating, I get hung up on the promises. If you remember, in 2008, candidate Obama, and, of course, he's still a candidate today. He's never been presidential. He's always on the daggone trail. But in 2008, he said that in an Obama administration, we will lower premiums by up to $2,500 for a typical family per year. And we'll do it by the end of my first term as President of the United States. However, we all know that was a lie. In the first 10 years, Obamacare is going to raise health spending by about $621 billion. That's an average of $62 billion a year, folks. When we look at that, you know, and start paying attention to these false promises, he doubled down in 2012. When he was running in 2012, he told small business owners, Ed, you're one of them. I'm one of them. You know, some of our listeners on the show right now are some of them. But he said, your premiums will go down. Yet in three separate reports between April of 2010 and June of 2012, even the Medicare actuaries that they pay and put in that position said that the Affordable Care Act was going to be anything but affordable, and it was going to increase health care spending. And that increase, the increase to an average family of four between 2014 and 2022 is going to be an average of somewhere around $7,450 per year. Folks, tell me something here. I don't get it. I don't get it. And maybe I'm not supposed to. I don't know. Mayo, thanks for calling in. Ed, we are running at the end of the hour, man. Final thoughts.
Well, you know, after a little rant on Nancy Pelosi, you know what? That's the problem. We've got a lot of problems in this country, and the politicians, you know, the people, you know, they run throughout. We get systemic problems, but that's a big one. We've got career politicians who have gotten in there, whether they're on a local level or whether they're on a national level, they get in, you know, they get their pensions taken care of, so they don't care. They get their salaries, whether they actually do the job well or not. I mean, much as spite as I have for the private sector sometimes, you know, the big corporations, at least if you don't perform, there's a decent chance you're going to get rolled out. I mean, you may get a golden parachute, but in politics, you don't have to balance budgets. You don't have to present budgets. You don't have to fund pensions. You can just sit there, and if you can convince everybody that it's not your fault or, you know, directly, then you keep rolling in it. And I think the fact that these people, they play musical chairs. They, you know, sometimes they get a seat and they think it's theirs and not the people's seat. And it just, this disconnect built, and to the point that you've got Nancy Pelosi has been doing what she's doing for so long, made so much money at it, gets paid for whether she shows up for work or not, whether she does her job worth the crap or not, and it just we the average guys get so far in the rearview mirror that we look really really small, you know, like little people, and. She is just absolutely, she and a lot of politicians are just absolutely oblivious as to what $750 with after-tax dollars, what that means to, you know, to people nowadays who aren't able to save anyway. You know, they don't realize what it means to, you know, some young kid who's, hey, you know, I'll roll without insurance for a while. It's good. I'm not going to use it. No blood, no foul, as we say in rugby. Doesn't hurt anything that a young kid doesn't buy insurance and then doesn't need health care. Give him a chance to save up for a house. But now they're going to start making everybody pay. They're taking choices away. And I just think the politicians, they just don't get it. They really don't get it. I mean, they don't, you know, you and I, when we were younger, I know I went without insurance for a while, but it was great because I could pretty much take everything that was left over on my paycheck, sock it away, buy a house, get the ball rolling. And not only is inflation taking that away from people and taxes taking it away from people, but now they're going to start taking away thousands of dollars for people who are looking to get a leg up, maybe roll the dice. Say, I don't think I'll get sick for 3 years and not need hospital care, and I could sock away enough money to buy a house, you know, get that ball rolling. They're taking that away from people, too.
Well, I agree. They are taking it away. And I tell you what, folks, I mean,
and
the reality is this.
They don't get it.
No, well, I would disagree with you on that because here's the thing for me, and I'll end with this. You know, not every politician is a millionaire or started out as one. And not every millionaire can be a politician. So when we sit here and we look at these politicians that are making all these decisions for us, you know, most of these politicians got a lot of their money after they were in office. You need to ask yourself that question. And if Obamacare was so good, if the Affordable Care Act is so great for America, why is it that our government is trying to exempt their own agency chiefs, head of staff, trying to exempt Congress? Congress shall make no rule that doesn't apply to them, and they do it constantly. And that's where the problem is. We're out of here, folks. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we'll be back here. Ed, have a great week. 7 o'clock as usual tomorrow night. And don't forget Thursday night TNT, Thursday Night Truth with Dale the Truth Gillespie. Thanks so much for joining in. We'll see you then. Take care.
All right. Bye.